If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56diva.com. Lower.com, Equal Housing Lender, MLS 112-4061.
Bob Bertog joins us frequently on Wednesdays. Answer some of your questions about your lawn, your landscaping, the bugs and the vermin that are bothering you. Hey, Bob, how are you? Welcome back to the show.
Thanks, John. How are you?
I'm good. Any ballpark piece of advice relative to the weather or the calendar that we should know or be doing in our yards these days?
Well, the hot, humid weather is really got the diseases running rampant. Dollar spot seems to be the most prevalent one that I see right now. Looks small yellow patches, and then they'll coalesce into one big round patch. But they're about the size of a silver dollar, hence the name dollar spot.
And that's in your yard. That's your lawn you're talking about, right?
That's in the turf, yep. And then you'll see we've been getting a lot of calls about birch trees dropping a bunch of leaves. But that's normal. That's their natural way of saving energy. So they just drop leaves so they don't have to feed as many of the leaves.
No kidding.
So if you see that, don't panic. It's mostly on birch trees.
What about those spots on the lawn? What was your advice about that last week? Didn't you say that the lawn will outgrow it? You don't have to do anything?
You can. Sometimes it's indicative of low fertility or compaction in the soil. But if it gets really bad, you want to put a fungicide on it. But for the most part, over time, if you water and fertilize properly, that'll grow itself out. It's not damaging the roots.
You said fertility twice now in the last 2 weeks about grass. What does that mean?
Well, you want to make sure you fertilize your lawn four times a year, minimum. Well, minimum two. And if you can only do one, the best time to do it is in the fall. But you want to put down, and this is, I don't want to get too technical, but you want to put down about 4 pounds of nitrogen a year on your turf. That's a good feeding.
4 pounds per square foot or four?
Per thousand square feet.
4 pounds per thousand square feet. And I guess the amount of nitrogen in a bag of fertilizer is noted on the side of the bag. I can kind of figure that out.
Right. There's three numbers on the bag. The first number is the nitrogen.
Okay. And I want 4 pounds of that per thousand square feet. How big is an average
yard?
For the season. And how big is an average yard?
Anywhere from 1,000 square feet to 10 acres. that's about what we maintain, somewhere in between there.
I bought some rolls of sod the other day, Bob, because I'm still trying to go some spots and some spots where I can't seem to grow grass, trying to grow some grass. So I just thought, well, heck, I'll go buy some sod. So I found some, and some of them seem to be better than others. But when I was rolling them out on the dirt there, I thought, maybe I should put some fertilizer under the sod so those roots will have it right then and there, but I didn't. What are your thoughts about that? What do you put down before you roll out the sod?
You put down a slow-release fertilizer, but definitely, to your point, you want to put it down before you put the grass down, because if you put it on over the top because you forgot, that's going to be too much. The plants won't be able to take it up, and you could actually burn it out pretty quickly.
Well, maybe I'll just roll it back up, throw some down there, and then roll it back down. What do you think of that?
That's probably the best solution.
And should I really work that soil up like the dirt that's going to go on? Should that be loose and even like as if I were going to plant grass seeds?
Yes. Good 2 to 3 inches, because you have to remember that sod came from the sod farm. And when they cut it, they cut the roots. So right now the plant's saying, okay, what's going on here? And I would prefer to get into something like a soft seed bed. So the soft topsoil underneath will help it root itself.
Linda's on with Bob Bertog. You're on WGN Radio. Linda, how can we help you?
Hi. I had a question. I put sod here and there in my yard rolls, and some of it took off wonderful, and I did work up the dirt, and I did I worked peat moss into the dirt. But one piece of my sod, part of it is green, and then I've got two patches of like brown area.
And I'm wondering, should you cut that out and just put dirt in there with grass seed, or is that stuff going to come back to life, Bob?
It depends. It sounds like if it's two smaller patches, it sounds like a dog might have gotten in there and put the two patches.
We do have two male dogs, but to be honest, they don't pee on that area. They actually go to another spot in the backyard and do their peeing.
Easiest thing to do is it all blends together instead of trying to introduce grass seed now, because you're going to have to water the sod a lot more than you will the seed, is just cut mm-hmm. that patch out and go get another roll of sod and fill it in with that.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, then. Thank you.
Yeah, good luck. I've done that before, too. Nancy, you're on WGN. How can we help you, Nancy?
Hi, good afternoon. I have carpenter ants in a tree in my backyard. What I was wondering is, can I treat the tree by myself? I really don't want to lose this tree. Or if I, if it's better, I call someone. Who can I call to help me with that?
I would call an arborist to look at it, because depending on how bad the population is, you could, if it's just a little at the base of the tree, you're probably okay. But if they're up in the tree, you could start losing limbs if they're inside there, if they're nesting up higher. So I would definitely get an arborist out there. It's not something I would recommend treating as a homeowner. I would definitely bring in a professional.
And that's not something you sprinkle on the ground and it just kills them, Bob?
It might be something as simple as that, but an arborist is going to know a lot more about the size of the population that's in the tree just by looking at the entrance holes, the exit holes, how many are hanging around. They're going to know a lot more than just going to the Home Depot and picking up an insecticide.
Good luck to you on that, Nancy. Thanks for the call. And there's your answer from Bob, 312-981-7200. Bob, you said at the beginning of this that there's a lot of fungus or mold in people's yards. Is that right?
Correct.
And go ahead, Bob.
It's the heat and the humidity combined, especially when nighttime temperatures stay in the 70s. It really takes off then.
I've noticed it just in some places, because we haven't had as much rain in the last week or so, that there's spots in my lawn that are kind of brown, not as bright green. It's not growing as much. That's not the lawn, though, going dormant for the season yet, right? It's not going, if it gets brown now, it'll green back up with enough water, right?
It will. And actually, we're about an inch and a half over normal right now for rain. But the problem is, when we get the washouts, it just goes right down the sewer,
yeah,
and doesn't have time for the plants or the turf to absorb it. So when it's getting hot and dry like this, yeah, you got to supplemental water.
Let's pick up more phone lines now. And Peggy, it's your turn. You're on WGN. What can we do for you, Peggy? Hi.
Hi. Thanks so much for taking my call. First of all, love you, John. Love the show.
Thank you.
And we have our home is a corner lot, so we have a lot of grass. But we have probably every weed known to mankind in our lawn. And I'm just looking for your best suggestions on how best to begin to treat it and when to treat it. That's my question.
The best time to treat is in the spring and the fall, when the plant is going through its flowering cycle. Like, you'll see dandelions are just starting to pop again. So when you get it, but you can't spray when it's too hot. But in September, you should be able to put the second application down, and then the first one is in the spring, depending on the weather, April, May-ish, when things are flowering.
Okay. And what do we use? That's the other $64,000 question.
You want to use a broad-spectrum selective herbicide, and there's a bunch of different brands. So you just read the label and follow the directions.
Good luck to you, and yeah, I hear you. What about this? For Bob Bertog, my potted geraniums are doing poorly. They're wilted and leggy. Never had this problem before. That's been the problem with my dad's geraniums too, Bob. What's going on with the geraniums this year?
It sounds like they're being overwatered. Geraniums typically love full sun and stay a little drier. And sometimes you can't control that because, like I said, when you do have those big downpours a pot's going to hold water. So those probably are being overwatered.
Can my tree recover from maple wilt?
There's so many different kinds of wilts, but yeah, usually they will. But if it looks like it's going to continue to decline, again, it's time to call a professional instead of self-diagnosing, especially trees. Even just over this weekend, I had a huge limb fall out of one of my maple trees, and I don't know. I'm going to have an arborist go up there and see why was the limb failing. So the tree's telling you something when you start losing limbs.
I have a huge cucumber plant with flowers, but no cucumbers, says 815. Any idea what that's all about?
No idea.
What about this one? John, it says here, where was the one I wanted to read you? My oak trees have all of their leaves turning brown. losing leaves and dead limbs. What's happening? These are younger trees, maybe 15 years old.
That's not good. That sounds like oak wilt, which is a disease, and it spreads through, a beetle gets in there and spreads the pathogen. But if you trimmed it at the wrong time of the year, like if you trim an oak tree during the summer, it's opening it up for infection. Again, it's time to get an arborist out there to see just how bad it is.
You often say wait until the spring or summer, but it's in the spring or fall to do these things. But it's in the summer when we're out there, we're enjoying it, we've got the time, we want to do this stuff. You more often test our patience, Bob, in asking us to wait.
It depends on the type of tree. Now, we've been talking about oak trees a lot, and those are the ones that you don't want to trim in the summer. But you can trim all the other types of trees you can trim. There's a small list that you can't.
I see. Because
they're makes them vulnerable.
What about this? Michael, you've got a question for Bob Bertog. What is it, Mike? You're on the air.
Hi, yeah, thanks. We just planted 10 5-foot arborvitae trees. How much water do they need at the beginning here and how often?
A couple times a week. And what you want to do is just put the hose at the base around where the root ball is and let it just trickle on there for 5 minutes a tree and do it a couple times a week. And then if it gets warmer out, you obviously got to do more. As it gets cooler, cut it back.
5 minutes a tree?
Yeah.
For the arborvitae.
Correct.
And for how long when they're new? Like, is that for another 6 months, 3 months? Like, how long do you need to do that to make sure that they're getting enough?
Yeah, so they take.
Definitely through the rest of the summer. And then depending on how much snow we get over the winter, and then, you know, you can't predict that. But you'll probably have to pop them again in the spring.
Okay. All right. I appreciate it.
Yeah, Michael, good luck to you. Thanks. I'll tell you what, I told you, Bob, we bought a couple of maple trees, and the guy that planted them for us said, water them a lot for a year on these four-year-old maple trees. Maple trees.
Joe, true. Again,
a year.
Well, everything needs water to sustain life. But
well, I know that, but I mean, he wants us to water it like every day or almost every day. Just a little trickle, keep that going. But for a year, I don't know if I can impress upon you enough how shocked I was to hear it was for a year that he wants me to water it a lot.
Well, and let me clarify. The gentleman that called in, he was talking about arborvitae, which is an evergreen.
Yep.
And evergreens don't need nearly the amount of water that a deciduous plant does.
I guess so.
So you want to be careful not to overwater evergreens.
How do you find an arborist, says 847? Good question. Where do I find my local arborist?
Well, a lot of people use Angie's List. I can tell you, I could probably direct you to the Illinois Landscape Contractors Association. There's a lot of arborists that belong to that. And they might, depending on where you live, they'll hook you up with somebody that's in that area.
Illinois Landscapers Association?
Illinois Landscape Contractors Association, ILCA for short.
This is Maurice. You're on WGN. How can we help you, Maurice?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. You know, I had a question about the lawn and whether I should be bagging or leaving the clippings in and go bagless. I mean, I know a lot of people go bagless. They claim that it provides nutrients and it thickens the lawn. It does all these different things. Listen, I'm a mailman. I see people going bagless all the time in their lawn. And some are actually bagging. I'll tell you, the bagless, some of these lawns look nice, and some of them don't look so nice. So I just don't, you know, this time of year in particular, I would imagine lawns will be stressed out quite a bit if you go use the bag to get the clippings out. I'm not sure.
It's best to recycle them, but the rule of thumb is you have to be careful to not be cutting off more than a third of the grass blade at a time. Because more than 50% of the grass blade is water, so you are putting the water and the nutrients right back into that plant. But if you let the grass go too long and it's 4 or 5 inches long, then you're going to have to bag it. Because if you don't bag that, then it's going to just smother the plants.
Got it. So don't let it get too tall and just consistently cut it, you know, before it gets too tall, you can go bagless and that'll provide you. There's
correct.
No fertilization that's really required with that.
But here's the thing, Maurice. I kind of like to bag it because it vacuums all that stuff up and it looks cleaner, you know? It looks prettier. But I hear what you're saying. Last time I mowed my lawn, I did what Bob said, and it all kind of falls into place. It still looks pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. Yep. I'll try that.
All right, Bob. Bob, you stay there. Maurice, thank you for the call. 815 just texted in, I have big cucumber plants with lots of flowers. So far, just three cucumbers, but it's still early. Hang in there, says 815. So a little cucumber advice. What about Larry? You're on WGN. How can we help you, Larry?
Typical suburban lots, side-by-side homes. We use the same chemical company. We use the same lawn cutter. But when my lawn got cut about 10 days ago, all the tire tracks turned brown within about 36 hours. That did not happen to the property next to me. Same guy cutting, same equipment. Huh. What's with the brown tracks all around? You could see where he cut the grass.
It sounds like you might be watering your lawn more than your neighbor because it was maybe too soft. And the heavy machine basically squeezes the water out of the grass plant. So it water.
Neither one of us water.
Well, then that takes care of that theory. Without seeing it, that's weird. That it's the same guy, and he cuts them both at the same time. Correct?
Yes, same day.
So, and unless they had two different machines, there might have been something on the tires of the one machine. Because that's.
I think the neighbor's up to no good. That's just my theory, but I think the neighbor's coming over the middle of the night.
His looks better.
Yeah, well, that's what it's all about. But interesting that you said, but if you have too much water in the grass, here comes the heavy machinery. It squeezes the water out of the grass. Now there's not enough water in those spots where the tires were, and that's what causes the lawn to go brown in that spot, huh?
It could. It's no different than on the golf course and when there's frost in the early morning in the fall or the spring, and you walk on it, you can definitely squeeze the water right out of the grass, and you'll see footprints all over the greens.
All right. Larry, I'm sorry we're not more help to you. My recommendation is to put your security camera on the neighbor, see what he's up to, but maybe that's not it. Bob Bertog, it's always a pleasure, sir. Thanks for your help today.
Thanks, John. Keeping it green.